how that went. Eventually, that dried up. They didn't have enough money. The Russians actually paid to complete the project, make sure she got up with the other two Russians. This guy made another hand made an audio file, and it's on the internet. So, if I gave you this long site, it's too long to give you over the air. But I shortened it. I wound up with one of the tiny URL I can give it to you here. tinyurl.com/27 U as in uniform, X as in X-ray, V as in Victor, V as in Zulu, 82. And that website comes up, you scan down about a page and a half, and they have an audio. You can play it and hear the contact. The first half of it is very clear, and then you can tell, she was going over the horizon. The signal was getting a little lost. Any comments before we close after 11?
WB2BXO.
Good evening, Frank. And how are you doing? And what's new in Pennsylvania?
Not a lot new here. Glad to see HF conditions somewhat improving. In any case, it's interesting about what you're just saying about MIR or the recording of MIR. I would suspect that some of the distortion you heard near the end of the contact was not so much a signal getting weaker going out over the horizon. No doubt there was some multipath also, but also Doppler, because the receiving operator was probably not following the Doppler shift. It's pretty fast at on 2 meters for low Earth orbit satellite like MIR. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, of course. It was a 2 meter contact, and nowadays when they make contact, a certain portion of them are direct contact. With a school set up antennas, they're actually direct contact, but a lot of them are telebridge contact, so they might be over. Say California. We have a station in Santa Rosa, California, that does this, and there'll be a relay, and it'll go through them, and then it's called telebridge. So from there, it goes through the internet and through the telephone system, and that's how a lot of these school contacts are being made. But in the 90s, they didn't have that, especially mid-1990s with MIR, and that eventually came about later. First contact, ham contact, of course, was before that. First one I ever do that was Owen Garriott, which we talk about on the net a lot, W5LFL. And, he was on a space shuttle, and they had a space lab system operating. I mean, they had in the cargo bay, you had a big area full of space labs. They were able to go back there and float around for days on end. And of course, those were the days before MIR. That was about 1980 or 83, I believe, was Owen Garriott's contact. He had an HTM, Motorola HT. And, of course, that eventually morphed into SAREC, Shuttle Amateur Radio Experiment, where they would do this on a regular basis on the shuttle. And eventually that changed into ARIES, Amateur Radio on the International Space Station, which they have today, which I think there were over 1,000 2,000 different contacts over the years. From 2001, they started. Anything else, Frank, before I close? It's getting late. WB2S, yeah, so WS2S.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, I recall years ago, probably in the 80s, when MIR was up and on 2 meters, they occasionally go on 146.55 or 5.8, I think. I think it was 5.5. And just call CQ. And I happened to catch them once, went back to them, and he didn't get the last letter of my call. He went over the horizon before he got my full call sign. One of my biggest disappointments in amateur radio. And one other comment, I wonder if you've seen anything new on the SpaceX Super Heavy. I saw something, I didn't get a chance to view the whole story. I think I saw something say they tested the Megazilla to see if it could actually catch something. But other than that, I don't think I've heard anything new since they successfully fired 31 of the 33 engines together. Go ahead.
Yeah, here we are, what, 5 days into May, into March, and March was supposed to be the predicted month, and I haven't heard any change yet. I also haven't heard a date certain. I haven't even gotten confirmation of anything I read about whether or not he's got his official license to launch from Boca Chica, Texas. We'll see. He's got to make sure that all 33 engines light up. Of course, the test flight is going to go around the Earth. Boost is going to actually disconnect early and then actually be destroyed and land in the Gulf of Mexico, and the Starship itself is going to wind up in the water off the coast of Hawaii. And if that's successful, then I guess they'll start thinking about having these things returned back to Boca Chica, and supposedly going to be able to catch these things with the Megazilla rig that you're talking about, Frank. I haven't heard them test, I haven't heard whether or not they tested that or not. And I'm not sure how they would go about testing it, maybe. I mean, you need a rocket to test that, right? Well, I know they've used it to stack the two vehicles, they're Super Heavy, and then they're able to utilize big arms to bring up the Starship and put it on top. Maybe that's what you mean. I don't know. I'm not sure what you mean by testing that. You're a long way off before that thing ever comes back to Texas. Although I hope not too soon. It'll be exciting if they pull that off. Back to you, Frank.
Yeah, I have no idea how they're going to test that thing either. I suspect the YouTube headline was, so I didn't get a chance to watch the video. I suspect the headline was more clickbait than reality. It'll be interesting to see what they do. I'm trying to remember. I think there was one more thing I wanted to say about them. All right, go ahead and close it out. Maybe I'll remember before we all disappear. Go ahead.
Okay, understood, Frank. Thanks for your input and your knowledge about the topic. All right, with that, I'm going to make 73 to everybody. Thank everybody for staying by. Questions, comments. We'll be back next week, hopefully. And for now, we'll turn it back to Roy. And this is the SpaceNet report for the TechNet. AC2GS, WS2N. Back to you.
Very good. This is AC2GS. Thank you, Paul. Thank you for the SpaceNet report. Thank you for all that you do for the technical net, all that you do for the club. We all appreciate it. I especially do. Thanks to everyone who participated tonight. I hope you learned a few things. I hope you were entertained as best we can. I remind you of the link page, roy.ac2gs.com. I've added a couple of additional topics due to our conversations tonight. One of them is a site that discusses the different ferrite mix selections available to amateur radio operators. Another one is a short little article on the subject that Gary, KA2UTF, mentioned, that there are six apparent galaxies that are too big for their age. One of the ideas that one astronomer has is they might not be galaxies. They might be accretion disks falling into massive black holes that may have existed early in the life of our universe. We'll see. That's the beauty of science. It's always looking forward. It never looks back. So thanks to everyone. As Dick would often end his technical nets, be kind to each other. That's always good advice. And I add a word from my favorite Latin philosopher, Epictetus. It's impossible for a man to learn what he thinks he already knows. So please keep your mind open and try to learn something new every day. I try to do that myself, and I would suggest it to the rest of you people out there. Thanks again. Have a great week, and please, please, please come back and join me next Sunday night at 8 p.m. when I try to do this all over again. So this is AC2GS, and also want to wish those people who are going to be observing a happy Purim coming up in a few days. So have a happy Purim. And this is AC2GS formally closing this episode of the Limar Technical Net, and I am clear.
Well, I guess if the Webb telescope proves the Big Bang Theory wrong, Maya Bialik is going to have to change the title of her old show to The Big Bang Failure. So I'll see you guys, UB2BX. So.
Boy, I'll have to look this galaxy story up. I have not read about this, so thanks to the station that brought it up. I will look at it.
Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater.
Limar InfoNet, tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 1:55 a.m. Clear. Temperature 40 degrees.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
This is the W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5 o'clock a.m.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 5:01 a.m. Clear. Temperature 38 degrees.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 6 a.m. Clear. Temperature 38 degrees.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 7 a.m. Sunny. Temperature 38 degrees.
Thank you.
7:55 a.m. Sun temperature 41 degrees.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
KD2AMY listening.
KD2AMY, KD2KNH.
KD2KNH mobile. KD2REK.
Good morning, Brian. Did you hear me just about a minute ago? I was on the Middle Island computer, and it was weird. I heard my voice outgoing after I released the key.
I did. I heard you. You were fine. You were actually stronger on Glen Oaks than you were on Selden and Middle Island.
Well, I'm in Selden now, so I wasn't getting any replies.
I got you. You're clear. A little static prior, but much clearer now.
Yeah, Selden's a little up and down over here. How was your weekend?
Oh, it was nice. Not long enough, though. I got to figure out a way in the space continuum to make them longer.
Well, you can start by having three-day weekends. Tell people you don't work on Mondays or Fridays.
I do that now. 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm looking for four.
Well, I think when you hit 65, you should work every other day and have the weekend off. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, maybe.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. One day at a time, that's all. It's just so much work, I really shouldn't even be taking off three, but I need to. It's just very tedious and physical and mental, and just need it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's like I can't do what I used to do. It seems like a two-hour job to me takes twice as long now. Just running that wire to the microwave oven took a while. It's like, I need to do something like that in no time.
Yeah, right. You're looking around for stuff. It's different. It used to be quicker. I know. That's okay. It's all good, right? How about you? How was your weekend?
Well, that was my weekend. My wife repainted the kitchen. I ran the wire to the microwave, so that's running fine now. And started painting the downstairs basement. They had some old ancient paneling from the fake wood grain from the 70s or 60s, whenever it was put up. So, time to start working on the basement.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hang on. Got to take a phone call. 1 sec. Sorry about that, Charlie. 1 sec.
No problem. I just have one as well. KD2KNH. I'm going to call mine back.
KD2LEK listening.
KD2KNH, I'm back.
KD2KNH, KD2REK. So, you were saying, the weekend, you got some paint done downstairs? That's good to know.
Yeah, also, I've got butcher block countertops. I got to take out my countertops and redo them and put butcher block in, and then a mini subway tile backsplash, probably, and whatever the color the wife wants. All right, I think Matt's going to jump in here, just on the phone with him. I'll hand it over to him, and Matt, hand it to Brian. Go ahead, Matt, I just handed it over to you, and you can hand it to Brian.
I'm fine. I'm not sure if it's close. I can go to 440-449-0047. Okay, Brian, good morning.
Kilo Echo 2 Alpha Mike Yankee. Kilo Echo 2 Alpha Mike Yankee. Get it out.
Kilo Echo 2 Alpha Mike Yankee. In and out. Are you just testing?
Just trying to see how far I go up the new radio. Just give me a second.
Good morning, Matt. How are you? I hope well. It's good to hear you. I got a busy day lined up for you. KD2REK is fine.
Yeah, thank you. I think I'm going to have to take off, so I'm on the portable, and I'm thinking reaching my limits where I can connect to. I'm about, about 10, 15 miles away from the Sheldon repeater.
Okay, thank you. Have a great day. And safe travel, 73. How's it going, Matt? It's Bri.
Good morning, WHUCDLs. On the train in Newark, Newark train station in New Jersey, on Echo Lake. Saying hello.
WA2CDL, we have KD2KNH, and we have Matt on as well, and Brian, KD2REK. So let's hand it over to Charlie, and then I couldn't get a hold of Matt, Charlie, so pass it off to, I guess, Andy. KD2REK, listening.
Give it to me, okay.
NY2H. Matt, you sold it. I'm doing timeout tests on Middle Island.
37.
Matt, QS White has sold it.
WA2CDL, KD2REK. I think we lost Charlie and Matt. Good morning, Andy. It's Bri. How are you?
Hopefully I'm getting in. I'm down in a little bit of a tunnel on the train right now. But it says I'm transmitting, so let's see. I can actually hear the repeater, the VL repeater in Newark, which is pretty good. So it's showing that it's got some decent coverage to New Jersey. All right, let's see. I'm not sure if I'm getting in. Let's just try it. But I'll be coming above ground shortly. I do have an internet connection, so I'm assuming it's working. All right, back to you, WA2CDL, on the train.
I got you, Andy. You sound good. You're clear. No issues. Where are you off to? You going to work today?
Okay, very good. Yes, sir, heading into work. And with the new train schedule on the Long Island Railroad, it's a little bit different going. And then I have to wait at Penn Station a little while for my next train, which is what I'm on now. But something new to get used to. And I'll probably be changing the schedule around again as time goes on. All right. I don't know if Lou and Matt are here, so let me give it back to you, and I'll just take a pause. WA2CDL, Train Mobile.
I believe Lou was working one of the repeaters, is last I heard. But we could let it drop a second in case you'd like to get in. So let's let it drop. KD2REK.
Good morning, guys. Lou NY2H here.
Yeah, last night on the TechNet, I noticed that Middle Island was timing out. So right now I have the timeout for like 5 seconds because I'm doing some tests. So instead of Middle Island, use Selden for a little while because I got to get to the bottom of this issue. So continue, but if you're on Middle Island, you're going to be dropping out for now because we're testing. Yeah, good morning, Steve. Are you coming out here?
I'm heading for my 7-Eleven first, but yes, I'm on the road.
All right, then I got to get ready. What time do you want to meet?
Whatever works. I think it'll take me at least 45 minutes to get out there, so if you need more time, just let me know.
Yeah, why don't we make it for like 10 a.m.? Meet you at 10 a.m. over there.
Yeah, okay. I'll just pick up my coffee and go home and sit around for a while.
All right. Yeah, good morning, Brian. Maybe Matt. I don't know if he got the message. I was telling the QSY over to Selden. And good morning, Andy. Andy, why don't you take it?
Okay, well, very good morning. I'm wondering if it was me that was timing out, because I did Andy's Corner. You were probably listening to that. I started around 8:30, and I was listening to myself on Glen Oaks, obviously, because I can't hear, I could have gone over to Selden, but I didn't. I was transmitting through Glen Oaks, though. And I, of course, could get into Middle Island if I wanted to. Not timing out on Glen Oaks. I wanted to make sure I was not timing out, at least on Glen Oaks. But maybe it was me that was timing out on Middle Island, because I was talking for a while, continuously, as I was reading. So I was just wondering if that's what was going on. All right. Yeah, I'm heading into the office today, and it's that's what I'm doing today. Anyway, all right, back to you, Lou. I'll give it back to you. WHCBO on the train in New Jersey.
KD2LEK. I just got to pick it up quick. Pulling up to my call, guys. Lou, Steve, Andy, Matt, if you're listening. Everybody have a great day. I'll pick it up later. KD2REK will be clear. 73, guys.
Alrighty, Brian. Echo. Okay. Yeah, have a good one. No, Andy, it wasn't you at all. I mean, you might have been timing it out, but it wasn't your fault. It was a misconfiguration or something I have to understand here. So, that's why I'm screwing around with it now. That's the story. I don't know if anybody else is in there, but I'm going to get back to what I'm doing, so NY2H.
Yeah, don't beat your head against the wall. I think I know what it is.
No, it's the node. You think the... my problem is node-related. What are you going to say?
I think it's the reset that this take... which, in retrospect, makes sense. I'm going to go in and get my coffee. We can fix this when we get out there in about 3 seconds.
All right, before you get your coffee, let me just counter what you're saying. All right. No, because I can, when the node fails or times out, I can key up Middle Island from RF, and there's no issue. So it's not the transfer that it's timed out. At least that's not my problem. Maybe what you're saying is true, and that's another issue. But that's not the issue I'm facing right now, because my issue, I can still key it up RF-wise while it's down. It separates itself from the network. It times out that way. That's what I'm seeing, and that's what I'm working with and correcting.
Okay. We'll figure it out. WB2ZSC.
All right, I'm going to pick it up for a minute here. I'm going to flying out of Echo Lane because I got to do a couple of things on the my phone here. So 73, and okay, Lou, I copy what you said. All right. So that's good. 73 for now. I'll be back later. And enjoy the nice weather. It's a nice day today. WAGCDL, Train Mobile, New Jersey. See you later.
Have a good day, Andy. NY2H testing.
NY2H
timeout. NY2H testing. Timeouts on Middle Island. NY2H, testing, timeout.
K2KND.
Hey, good morning, Rich. I'm working on the Middle Island node. It seems to time during the TechNet. So I'm trying different configurations here. How you doing?
Doing well. We just had... when we have 3 days with two of our grandkids, the youngest ones. So that was interesting. One of them is 10 and a half months, and she already walks up the steps. So it was like watching her like a hawk. Kept us busy. Anyway, does All-Star itself have a timer, or could it be some timing, because it's all linked up to... IRLP and Echolink.
Also has a couple of timers. It has a transmit timeout and it has a receive timeout, believe it or not. And right now, there's another parameter and it's called, RxCOS. And what that does, according to the literature, is if you were an offending signal, let's say that, you're on the air a long time and you're warranting a timeout, but at the same time you're picket fencing, so in other words, your signal's coming up and down, this parameter is supposed to, like it was normally defaults to 20, which is 20 seconds. So that means if you drop and come back, it's still going to keep the thing timed out. In other words, you'd have to clear for 20 seconds or more before the timeout will clear. So I just changed it to zero, and now the thing's not even timing out, even though I'm telling it to time out in 5 seconds. Yeah, I'm still on the air here. You can hear on Middle Island. So maybe that just parameter just has to be set to zero. I'll reset the other timers back to normal, and we'll leave it like this for a while and see what happens.
So you're saying it's basically a situation like the TechNet where someone, Roy or someone else, may go on for some period of time, and there's a built-in timer in the All-Star network that kicks in?
Yeah, each individual node has configuration, configurable settings, including each individual node has a transmit timeout time, and each individual node has a receive timeout time. And my goal is to set them at 3 minutes and 45 seconds. Now, the reason I picked that number is because there's a hard timeout at 4 minutes on IRLP. So, and what IRLP will do is drop the connection if you exceed the 4 minutes. So I don't want to exceed the 4 minutes. So 345 is the sweet spot. And the other guys seem to be playing well, but this one, for some reason, I notice has been timing out. So maybe this will do it. We'll see. In the meantime, I'm going to meet Steve up there at 10. We want to make sure that the Middle Island receiver squelch isn't too tight. So we're going to investigate that. And I guess Steve wants to make sure also that the hardware timeout on the transmitter itself is not giving us any issues. Let's see. Let me let it drop and I'll continue. Hold on. So, I guess as you know, the coverage of the Middle Island repeater, in our estimation, is superior to the Selden one. And I think we've realized that probably Selden will stay with, Glen Oaks will stay with Middle Island. Right now we have Selden involved. I would like to at some point jettison Selden and perhaps connect it to Plainview. Now the reason I want to connect it to Plainview is, like, for example, let's take Sam, who's in Connecticut. So he likes to talk to guys that are on the Plainview machine, but he can't get to the Plainview machine, but he can certainly get to Selden. So he would have options of connecting to Selden and talking to the Plainview guys, or connecting to Middle Island and talking to the Glen Oaks guys. So I think that's the ultimate way we should have this set up, but I don't know when we could do that. What are your feelings on that?
K2KND. Well, I did get one note asking why the Middle Island had been disconnected from linking to Plainview, and I explained that we're trying to see what the maximum use of the system is. And in one case, I guess there are people that enjoy linking to Plainview from out east, you know, with a much better connection. So I'm fine with anything there, but what I am thinking is maybe we can still utilize the lower antenna, find some 440 frequency. Again, the capability of the All-Star node makes it very simple to just get a repeater, maybe even the fusion repeater that we have, get that over at Middle Island with some 440 frequency, and link that up to Plainview that way. So then have the best use of everything, because we don't know the full coverage of Middle Island and like on the South Shore, for example. So it may be that ultimately we leave Selden and Middle Island connected to Glen Oaks and have some other connection to Plainview, or temporarily the Selden repeater to connect to Plainview. Either way, but I think we could probably use that 440 antenna in some way too.
K2K and BNY2H. Well, number one, that's Peconic's antenna. They're keeping that antenna for their own use. So I don't know if you're talking about a temporary basis, but they have dibs on that antenna, just to remind you. That's number one. Number two, Charlie was out in East Hampton, and he did very well on Middle Island from there. Number three, you know, all the way down the expressway from west to east, we did well with Middle Island, and dead spots on Selden were accessible through Middle Island. So I don't, and whatever Selden and Middle Island have is in terms of a footprint, or, you know, like common, so it's kind of redundant. So I guess you're hearing my opinion would be to do the cross, you know, do Plainview and Selden. But yeah, I believe their antenna, that's their antenna, you know, so I don't know if you know differently, but go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know if you dropped out or timed out.
The last thing I said was go ahead. You didn't hear that?
No, I don't think so. It seemed almost like it dropped out. I could be wrong. Again, yeah, I know it's their antenna. I thought that they were holding it for possible future use. I don't think they had anything particular planned with it right now. So, you know, that was my only thinking about, since we have the fusion speeder that could really go in there, to perhaps consider that. But it really doesn't, you know, it really doesn't matter. It's, you know, whatever you think is workable. However, if we're going to link Sheldon to Plainview, then we need to leave both of them. You know, a lot of people may not have a 440. We assume we're in a dual band world, but that's not necessarily the case. So you may disenfranchise some people by removing the 2 meter link to Glen Oak. So I'm not sure about it from that point.
Yeah, that's both a plus and a minus. I mean, they may be incentivized then to get a dual band. I think most people have dual band. And with the dual band, when you're in the common area, you can actually do full duplex. You can listen to yourself as you're speaking or if anyone else jumps in on the cross band, on the other band. There's one issue, though, that just occurred to me, is that we have RLP on Sheldon. So we would have to move that over. Let's see. We'd have to move that over probably to Middle Island or Glen Oaks to keep it back on our Glen Oaks network. Yeah, because Plainview has its own RLP, and so we wouldn't want Plainview and Sheldon to be connected with two different RLP nodes. So there's a little bit of thought that's got to go into this thing, but I'm thinking that might be the target. Those cross connections. I have to do a little more work with now that I'm thinking about the RLP. And as far as, well, I don't know, VHF, UHF, that's an interesting thing. I wonder how many people only have one band, you know, in their car or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, I think what we could do, which, you know, we've said we might try, is we'll take a poll. We can send out a questionnaire to the membership, specifically looking to people who are out east, whether they have the dual band, whether they can make that transition easily enough. Again, because one of the things that increased our accessibility as a club was linking the two together. While there's pros and cons, which way, we want it to be equal. We want everyone that it can access Sheldon VHF wise to be able to continue to link by using the UHF. So we can send out a poll. We can do that. We can get Jerry to set it up and just poll the membership.
AD2DK. Hey, good morning, John. Well, I mean, we could leave the three of them connected, and as you say, possibly use the lower antenna to link another machine into Plainview. But, you know, at any moment's notice, they can say, okay, now we're going to use that for something else. But, I mean, we could pursue that idea, too, if you want. And if we have room there, I guess, for another repeater. I don't know. Or maybe they can get that other cable repaired. I guess I don't know how many breaks there are in it. You know, get another high antenna next time they do some work up there. So we'd have to talk to the people out there and see what our options are. John, good morning. Over to you, sir.
Good morning, Lou. I'm sitting here in my truck. I was waiting for a conference call.
Lou, I guess that's a timeout.
Yeah, okay, so with timeout in one direction. John, I'm messing with the timeout values on Middle Island. So you're timing out back into us. So that tells me a little, because I have it at 5 seconds for transmit. But receive seems to be opened up. Or vice versa, I always get my frame of reference inverted. I don't know if you can get on to Sheldon, John.
I most certainly can. Stand by.
So, Rich, this is also the feature of redundancy, right? So he can switch over. Let's see. So maybe it is a good idea to keep him connected.
Yeah, I think...
You got me on Selden loop.
You know, find some other alternative or even some other remote location or something like that, but... We may find that the coverage pattern is really a little bit different. As far as the other antenna goes, according to either Don or Dave, they cut it at 132 feet or some number like that. And so Steve Juffman's point was you're not going to try to patch stuff together at that point, particularly if the ends weren't protected. And so you're going to do a run all the way up, and it's just... You know, cost prohibitive for us to run 7/8 hard line for 800 feet or 700 feet, whatever it is. KTKND.
NY2H. Yes, John, I hear you on Selden. That's a sad thing that they did that and wasted that whole line. But, all right, let me put these parameters back together on Middle Island and. Except for the one, I'll leave that at zero and see where that brings us. John, you're sitting in your truck. Not a bad thing. What's it, in the upper 40s, temperature-wise?
Alas, no. It's a mere 42. Yeah, I'm sitting in my truck. I was waiting for a conference call to start, which got canceled, so I was listening in. Yeah, Selden seems to be working. A strange echo, though, on your voice. I don't know if it's, I don't know.
Yeah. Got this echo is Middle Island. I'm monitoring myself. I lower the volume and the echo will go away. But I'm monitoring the behavior of Middle Island as I speak. Steve, over to you.
Yeah, I just decided I'm going to find a place to snooze outside, so I'll head out in about 20 minutes or so.
All right, well, I got to jump in the rain room and, you know, so whatever. I can get there a little earlier probably. Let's see. But let me straighten out this config file right now before I do anything else and say hello to Richie and John. We're both in there, and I am going to listen out for a while in NY2H. Rich, why don't you take it?
Hi, very good, and good morning, Steve, and good morning, John. All right, so Steve, let me pass. I'm actually going to sign, but Steve, let me pass it over to you and say good morning.
I'm sitting here watching. Some guy let his dog out in the parking lot, and the dog bolted. So he took the car and drove down to the other part of the lot to catch up with the dog.
John?
Good morning. Now, my daughter bought a puppy, and I just watched the puppy run right through the deck railing. And now the deck railing is on the ground. The puppy's okay. But now I've got something to fix.
Yeah, KCKB, my friend uses a electronic fence for his dog, which is kind of not necessarily the best idea, because he lets the dog out, and the dog will go to the front of the house, which is very exposed if anybody would come along and try to grab the dog. So, but knocking over a fence by a dog, that's a whole different story. Anyway, I'm going to sign. We've got some things to do. You guys take care.